Blog Talk Radio.
Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand.
Use it.
Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Singing.
Why don't you
sing it? Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting edition of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. Welcome once again to Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. Hey, my listening audience, today's date is November the 23rd, 2022. Yes, 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 ladies and gentlemen, we do not have any scheduled guests today. If you are one of our regular listeners, you know that the slogan for this show, if you join us on a regular basis, is Power in Numbers and the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative LLC captures that power for your financial benefit. The Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative LLC serves as an economic blueprint for self-reliance for solar and renewable energy companies, both large and small, along with increasing market share for African-American owned solar and renewable energy companies to address the effects of high energy costs at our historically Black colleges and universities, to utilize African-American-owned farmlands and HBCU campuses to develop capacity and initiatives for renewable energy projects to bring down the under and unemployment of young African-American men and women locally and nationally, also to educate the African-American community locally and nationally about the economic impacts of climate change and the need for environmental education in the African-American community through Black Talk Radio programs such as Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. You also know, ladies and gentlemen, if you join us regularly, that this show is brought to you every week by the Black Sports Legends Foundation, BSLF HBCU Solar Radio Talk Show Initiative, and you're listening to that initiative over the platform of Blog Talk Radio over the World Wide Web. We can also be heard on iTunes. We are streaming via Facebook, Twitter, and Link. Ladies and gentlemen, you also know that this show is brought to you every week by the National Association of Blacks in Solar. And you know their slogan is Power for the People. And this organization, you can go to their website at blacksinsolar.org, and you'll find that the voice you're listening to is the I am still serving as the president of the National Association of Blacks in Solar. So we wear a number of hats here on the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative LLC and the National Association of Blacks in Solar. And we're your guest host today. as always, here on Solar Now in the Future with its economic impact on Black America. You also know, ladies and gentlemen, that that call-in number is 646-668-2948. Once again, that call-in number is 646-668-2948. And as I said, remember to press 1 on the phone pad after dialing the call-in number, because you'll be in our green room and we want to bring you right on in our living room. We're going to sit down and have a conversation about some very important issues. They're called pocketbook issues, ladies and gentlemen. As people are preparing to celebrate the mores and folkways, and they're traveling to get together with their family for something called Thanksgiving, for all those that do, we hope them a safe trip and hope everybody is in good health, because there are some serious weather conditions around this country, and we are dealing with some serious issues called climate change. So be very, very cognizant of how you're traveling and what the weather is if you're going to be on the road, and be safe out there. Now, ladies and gentlemen, as I said, we don't have a scheduled guest for the show today, but you know, as yours truly does, you know, we try to always look into our and do a little research and see what we can come up with. We think that you may find interesting. And what we found was that the American Association of Blacks in Energy, they are probably the oldest trade organization that we have as African Americans in the solar industry. AIDS has been around for quite some time. And they recently held a webinar, which was put on and sponsored with the Department of Energy, U.S. Department of Energy, on funding opportunities with Shalanda, last name M-O-R-I-S-S-E-T-T-E. And this particular webinar was recently held, and we're going to be listening to that webinar and to the presenters for this webinar. And it talks about 1,000 jobs, Clean Energy Corps, hacking the DOE code of procurement, recycling, SBIR topic releases, loan program offices, advanced manufacturing, energy auditors, career skills training, guidebooks. And we're looking at the need of individual positions that are available right now under various topics of discussion that are available at AABEDC.org, because the National Association of Blacks in Energy is a membership, 501c3 membership organization, and they've hosted a number of webinars, and they've just redesigned their website. And I'm sort of, and I've been on board quite a long time supporting what Abe does. So we reached the back in their vault, and we want to share with you today's webinar that we'll be talking about. And without further ado,
few things that we'll go over are often what we do, show you where the money is, show you some of the legislation, show you some of the money, the programs, and the opportunities. So, someone in Congress in 78 has the novel idea to make sure that our Office of Economic Impact and Diversity existed, although at the time it was probably still a group of older white men. They made sure that we were able to provide three businesses to Secretary at that time, and the same is still true today. So we are doing research on energy burden, economic opportunities, and the commercialization of energy-related technologies, as well as providing technical assistance. And although we do have the authority to provide financial assistance in loan form, it has not been done in the history of the office. But we are working on it, and we hope that that is coming soon. So that's just some basics. So our office is just as old as the Department of Energy. Department of Energy established. And right now, this is what you're seeing out in the world. $62 billion of bipartisan infrastructure law that goes directly to DOE. That's over the course of time. We already have received some of those dollars. There's another $30 billion with the IRA, the Inflation Reduction Act. And so there's more coming out of that act, slowly being rolled out. And we have Justice 40, which is 144 actually covered programs in total. And then we have the CHIPS Act, right? There's plenty of money to go around. And so what we've seen released is $3.1 billion just to lower utility bills for energy efficiency home upgrades. We've got $3.1 in battery manufacturing, $2.4 in advanced nuclear reactors, lots of dollars in carbon capture, $2.6 billion there, $1.2 to mitigate risk, right, for nuclear facilities for premature closure, $11.2 million to support states in state energy security plans, another $80 million just in solar manufacturing, workforce, and technology development. So again, this is funding that's already been announced that we know about. So Justice 40 is sort of the indication that the department knew it had an issue, and so we have to mandate that 40% of the overall benefits of certain federal investments, clean energy, right, must flow to disadvantaged communities. I want to make sure that I make it very clear. Disadvantaged communities was defined by 36 points of information. So that included things like, is there a transit system, number of single-parent households. There were just a ton of things that we had to get in alignment to qualify as disadvantaged communities. Climate change, clean energy, clean transportation, sustainable housing. My key area, training and workforce development, is a focus, but it does cover things like waste infrastructure and water infrastructure. So that's grants, that's procurement spending, right? So that's sort of free money, that's loan money. That's all across the board for 144 programs, right? So with that, my office in particular is in everyone else's pocket to make sure that it's spending appropriately. And so we are looking at every department's area of spending. Does it have a community benefit plan? How is it going to impact these disadvantaged communities? So SBIR, huge funding dollars in this program. Every they're spending billions of dollars, probably about $5.2 billion every year. This is mostly research and development. So what's important about this program, it's one of the few programs that has non-diluted funds, meaning that we cannot take your idea. So the trouble with this program that I see is that you need experience and credentials to present your idea. However, if you have the teams that support it, you don't necessarily need to be the expert. It just is your idea. So this is based on funding topics, right? So a bunch of offices will get together and say, we've got X amount of dollars and we need a solution in waste, right? And so they'll say, come up with an idea, and we will fund you to get it to commercialization. That's what SBIR is, stands for Small Business Innovation Research. It's sort of two programs that come, how does it work? There's four phases, but there's a phase that's not listed here called phase zero. These are the phases that I'm showing you that actually award dollars. So in the first 6 to 12 months, if you are awarded, in other words, we like your idea, we're going to give you $200,000. That's for research, right? We sort of give you the support that you need to go forth, tell you there are some of the subject matter experts that you should be working with. Phase two, to sort of follow up for 2 years, you're going to get another $1 million, right, to continue your research. The next phase, right, between A and B, you'll get another $1 million, and that's for another 2 years. In phase two and three, or two with A and B, there's an opportunity for an additional $20,000. Every summer, just for internships, right? And so every company or person or nonprofit that's awarded these dollars has an additional funding opportunity for bringing on students. If we want to see students of color, there's an internal goal to make sure the number of minority applicants is increased. It has been historically low for this program. However, it is really the funding partner for things like the Super Soaker, right? Dr. Lonnie Johnson, that's where this money came from for that initial idea to get it to commercialization. So there's money here just in this program for ideas. Your research, an HBCU institution could apply for dollars here. Any group that has an idea can go through this program. Important for our population in particular is the Phase Zero program. It's a free 12-week program where you get access to these things that you see on the left. So 10 hours of a market researcher for an entrepreneur is crucial, right? When you're trying to get your idea to market, where to meet up with someone that is a specialist in this area. So it's a solid program. It takes on about 200 applicants just for the Phase Zero. So in that 12 weeks, they're going to help get your proposal together to actually apply. So right now, the topics for this are out. They're available. They came out on November 7th. So I encourage you to go through. It's a very lengthy document. I will show it to you since we have enough time here. So this is a barrier. You could filter this site down. And again, I'll share this. It's actually embedded into the presentation. These are all the funding topics. If you want this in a PDF with linkable links, this is the PDF version. So you can see you're looking at Office of Cybersecurity, Energy Security. If you click on this, it'll give you all the details, right? So they're looking to see office work. They're telling you a little bit about their office. They're looking for your ideas in it. They're telling you exactly how much they're willing to give you, right? Research in cybersecurity for energy delivery systems. Just must include these things. Clearly provide understanding of current capabilities and outline a novelty. Everything is there for you in this document. It is clearly written out. They release these topics every 6 or 7 months or so, but there's 2 phases every year, and there's awards 2 phases every year. So, again, I'll share this document with you, but there is a ton of topics, and some of them are pretty general. Let me go back here for just a second. So again, if you are looking at this and you're saying, okay, if I had to do this, how long would this application process take? The average is about 150 hours. When I did the math on this, if you get your first award of $200,000 to $250,000, that's about $1,600 an hour if you take the 150 hours to do this. This program gives you the additional assistance that you may not have on your own, and they pay for it, right? You don't have to pay for this patent attorney. You don't have to pay for the technology advice if you need it for your idea. It's all there for you in that 12-week program. But please tell people about it. All right. So this is a discussion topic that I have sort of curated right now, clean energy job board. There's 1,000 jobs that are coming up. The first time in a long time that we've had direct hiring authority. What that means is instead of dumping your resume into USA Jobs and it goes the abyss of about 40,000 other applicants, there's a different website that you're applying through. It means that upon interview, they can make you a job offer. And the turnaround time is not 6 months, it's more like a month. I know several people that have gone through this process, they've been successful. The difference when you're actually applying is that you are not selecting the job that you're interested in. You are simply submitting your resume. They're looking at your skills, your capabilities, and then assessing where you fit into the department. It may be in project management, it may be direct for engineering. So they decide that and they make you an offer. They say, we think that you'd be a great fit for this. Are you interested? And that's when the negotiation process starts. At the end of all of that, so you get your offer and you finally get USA Jobs where you're just entering your information. But it's quick 5 steps of, this is who I am a US citizen, I agree to these things, I can be contacted, upload your resume. Very, very simple. So I will show you, these are all of the jobs that we have classified as direct hire. Contracting specialist to accountant to auditor to electrical engineer. We have 37 occupations where we can do this. It is incredibly fast to get into the system with this program. Here that we're really looking at is pyramid. Right? If you're looking to work with DOE, what I hear all the time is it's difficult to go Fans.gov and all the other places to become a contractor. What I was told, there are a number of procurement folks, is find a prime and become their subcontractor when they're closer to the end of their contract, right? Eventually, they want to continue to do business with DOE, but they have gotten too large to still be considered a small business because they've been doing business with us for 6-7 years at this point. But they don't want to lose the business. A subcontractor can basically take on their path. So it's a very easier way to really target getting your own contract without having to take on the huge responsibility initially of acquiring more equipment or what have you. This is an easy way to do that. And so there are set-aside direct award contracts for EAs if you are qualifying as that and certified as an EA. So this is just from the word of mouth of this is how you do this, right? If you need to get around it, find someone, target them directly and say, I can do this work for you, right? $1 million in battery and critical mineral recycling. This is an interesting funding opportunity in that you could be higher ed if you were a recipient. You could be a battery engineer. But what's better than that is that you can actually just be involved in recycling activities. And you don't have to be a battery manufacturer. You can imagine that in some communities, folks are not recycling nearly as much, batteries in particular, and these are all types of batteries. If you can optimize the value of the material from recycling batteries, that's an eligible use. So these are all the different uses that would make you qualify, right? So it's research and development and demonstration, but the full gamut is here for you to really participate. A couple of other ones. So the Loan Program Office. This is an office within DOE that probably has more money as a department than the entire Department of Energy. Their loan floor is $100 million. Historically, they have never awarded a minority-owned business a loan. What is really important about this office is that they are, on average, giving out loans of $1 billion at a 3% interest rate.
Damn!
Right. It's incredible that they're able to do this. They have dedicated funds just for automotive, and they also have a tribal loan part of all of the funding. So think about what you could do if 10 black-owned companies came together and said, we want to go into carbon capture. It is a loan, so you will have to go through the process of getting approved. It costs about $2 million to actually apply because it is a lot of paperwork. But imagine $2 million investing in yourself and getting back minimum $100 million, right? Usually it's more. So there is definitely dollars there that you can certainly utilize, right? So that's one area. So advanced manufacturing, there's a FOA out right now. They're looking for lithium hydroxide. If you can produce it, from geothermal brines, we want. Interesting thing about this particular FOA is that you can join a teaming list that is public, meaning if there's a willingness for you to work with other companies, and you may provide a service, right? You may provide the technology service. You may provide the actual equipment to do this kind of work. You can list yourself publicly and say, I'm willing to work with anyone to apply for this. In other words, pull your resources together and then apply. This is really an interesting opportunity. We're finding more and more that there are people that want to do this. When I first looked at this about a month ago, there were only 4 on the list. When I looked the other day, there's about 35, but that's still a small list that you are able to get in right now and utilize. There's career skills. So there's $40 million in career skills training. This can be done in partnership with nonprofits. So this is not out yet officially. There's a press release on it, so it's okay for me to tell you about it. But basically, the feds are saying we will take on some of the costs of folks receiving classroom instruction and on-the-job training for industry-related certifications to install energy-efficient building technology. So that's a really good one. This is actually done through a new office that we just stood vacation, they can't leave, you know, their regular job, whether it's working a 9-to-5, they just don't see it in the cards to walk away and not be paid. And so this opportunity will allow for funding to actually pay them directly as they're going to train. I don't know how many of you know this, but COE does take unsolicited proposals, and there's a whole process to it. But if you have an idea, if you think that we should be doing something, there's a whole guide. And if you go through that process, we have taken on some of those ideas and funded them directly. This is somewhat of like a sole source funding opportunity, but it's there. And in these slides, you'll find everything that you need to do it. If you know someone that says COE should be doing this, encourage them to go through that process.
Slow down.
Okay. And remember, you
can. Can you go back to that slide so you get this?
Which one? You want the unsolicited proposal?
I want the link.
Oh yeah, you can have all of this. You'll get this whole deck. You'll get all the links. All this. I'll be happy to share it with you. All of this information is public.
I didn't realize I was wrong. Can you take the contact information too?
Yeah, absolutely. It's actually at the end of it. And it has my phone number, everything. So you'll get all of these details. And if there are questions, as I'm speaking, I'm happy to tell you everything I know. So feel free to stop me and ask questions.
Yeah, I'm a carbon capture officer.
Wonderful. There are, I mean, billions of dollars right now that we're looking to invest. And it's in here with the SBIR opportunities. You can do it through the unsolicited proposal. We have dedicated offices that deal just with carbon capture. So happy to help you out and give you even more details. And I also have a mapping tool that we use that I'll show you in just a second that I'll also share with everyone to sort of map out what funding opportunities there are between still and IRA. So for this, there's another $200 million that also does not come out until January-ish, first quarter. So it's state-based home energy efficiency contracting training grants. I'm sorry, this was pretty, I found out about it today, and so I wanted to make sure you all knew about it, that it's coming. State can partner with nonprofits to deliver this. Again, it's a training program, it's all grant money, so it's another $10 million. This one's interesting, it's through higher education, but higher education institutions can partner with nonprofits or whomever to deliver energy efficiency audits for businesses and other higher education institutions. So there are only 13 of them, if I remember correctly. And so what my office is going to do is sort of highlight for the organizations like AIDE that they should be working with to deliver this information. So that's just a little bit of it. So let me show you more. This is my contact information. Again, it will be included in the slides. I'm very accessible. This is my actual cell phone number. You can call it right now. It will ring. I won't answer it because I'm doing this with you all. But you can text me. You can call me. You can email me. And I will get back to you. I have a strong team. We are looking to set up some office hours. But wait, there's more. Don't worry. You will get this information. So, as I told you, we mapped out the IRA, the bill program, to see where does this money live. And so this is a tool. It's just simply going through and saying, well, what kind of business am I? We know that right now there's $108 billion that's already here. So if you look at this and you say, okay, I want to look at grants and loans, I want to look at rebates, right? What does this look like for us? And you want to look at dollars amount, rare earth mineral security, right? What is it actually called? You can look at it by way of manufacturing supplies. Do you want to look at grid or demonstration? We have it all broken out. And so as more and more legislation comes out, we're going to continue to do this mapping because I don't believe anybody else has done it quite like this. So when you say carbon capture, R&D, carbon utilization program, that's $310 million there. And so it's all grant dollars. The application is open quarter four. So let me do a little bit of this in order to see it. There's so much information here, so forgive me that it gets a little small. But it's a little bit easier. When you click on these links, it should bring you to all of the landing pages. Fossil Fuel of Energy is the office that does it. All the information is here. Here's what it can be used for. Here are the program announcements. You can download it. Here's an Excel show. So that's how it's all mapped out for you. So if you have questions about that, again, I'll share it with you happily. And you can filter it down yourself and take a look. And if you have direct questions, we can always connect you to the program offices that do this. few things that we'll go over are often what we do. Show you where the money is. Their contract, right? Essentially, they want to continue to do business with DOE, but they have gotten too large to still be considered a small business because they've been doing business with us for 6-7 years at this point. But they don't want to lose the business. A subcontractor can basically take on their past performance because they've worked with them. So it's a very easier way to really target you getting your own contract. Dedicated funds just for automotive, just for clean energy, and they also have a tribal loan part of all of the funding. So think about what you could do if it is a loan, so you their program. And again, this will be out the first quarter of 2023. It's all grant dollars. So then there's $40 million in energy auditors. This is going to go through the state. All of this information is public.
I didn't realize I was verbal. Can we?
And you want to look at dollars amount, rare earth mineral security, right? What is it actually called? You can look at it by way of manufacturing supplies. Do you want to look at grid or demonstration? We have it all broken out. And so as more and more legislation comes out, we're going to continue to do this mapping because I don't believe anybody else has done it quite like this. So when you said carbon capture, R&D, carbon utilization program, that's $310 million there. And so it's all grant dollars. The application is open, quarter four. So let me do a little bit of this in order to see it. There's so much information. So forgive me that it gets a little small, but it's a little bit easier. When you click on these links, it should bring you to all of the landing pages. Energy is the office that does it. All the information is here.
Ladies and gentlemen, we went back through that and we replayed the young lady's, Mrs. Shalanda's voice because we wanted to make sure we got all of that information in. Now, you'll be able to find this particular webinar on aabedc.org. That's aabedc.org. It stands for the American Association of Blacks in Energy, DC.org. This is one of the webinars that they have posted on their website, and we found this to be such an informative, rich webinar that we were going to broadcast this for our listening audience here on Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. Now, no other place are you going to get this information and hear this type of information. So with that being said, we're going to take a slight pause for the cause, ladies and gentlemen, as we prepare for a look at another subject matter and topic matter as we get ready to change gears as on this platform, Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. We're going to be looking at in the very near future, we will be looking at solar advocacy, hold Pepco accountable for blocking solar, which will be our next topic of discussion. But if you have any questions about what you just heard, you can reach us by dialing 646-668 2948. Once again, that call-in number is 646-668-2948. And as we always do, we're going to take a slight pause for the cause, and we're going to be right back here on Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America.
Life is a song worth singing. Life is a song worth singing. Why don't you sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand. Use it. Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, back to the airways of Solar Now and the Future with the economic impact on Black America. You know I'm your host, Ronald Buffet, and you know if you join us on a regular basis, the slogan for this show, if there's power in numbers, then the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative LLC captures that power for your financial benefit. The Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative LLC serves as an economic blueprint for self-reliance for solar and renewable energy companies, both large and small, along with increasing market share of African-American-owned renewable energy companies to address the effects of high energy costs at our historically Black colleges and universities, to utilize African-American-owned farmlands and HBCU campuses to develop capacity and emissions for renewable energy projects to bring down the under and unemployment of young African-American men and women locally and nationally, also to educate the African-American community locally and nationally about the economic impacts of climate change and the need for environmental education in their community through Black Talk Radio programs such as Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. You also know this show is brought to you every week by the Black Sports Legends Foundation, BSHBCU Solar Talk Show Radio Initiative, and you're listening to that initiative over the platform of Blog Talk Radio. We are over the World Wide Web. We are also streaming over Facebook, Twitter, and Link, and we can be heard on iTunes. Ladies and gentlemen, the show is also brought to you every week by the National Association of Blacks in Solar, and their slogan is Power for the People. And we're going to look at that as it relates to our next subject matter as to why it is necessary for us to have an organization such as the National Association of Blacks in Solar. So with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to look at the issue of community solar. And I'm going to sort of set the platform as to why this is such an important subject matter as it relates to the topic of discussion that we want about holding Pepco accountable for blocking solar in the district. I want to first sort of set the table about community solar and why this is such a big deal as relates to the African-American community. Now, you'll be able to find on our website, Positive Change P-O-S-I-T-I-V-E-C-H-A-N-G-E-P as in Paul, C as in cat.com. That's our website. You want to click on our news and events and scroll down to Solar Snapshot, Local Energy Planning and Resilient Funding Selections, Community Solar Awards Finalists. Now, when you click down there, you will see DOE, the Department of Energy, announced a $43 million investment to support clean energy transition to communities across the country. The 20 projects selected by Renewable Energy Advancing Community Energy Resilience program is called RACER. Funding program will help communities increase their resilience from disaster. Three projects selected, okay? It'll be under that, and if you scroll down, it'll say Sunny Awards, Equitable Community Solar. And this is where we want to look at, and what we want to look at, ladies and gentlemen, when we get to talking about community solar. Now, the request for information on community solar is already out here. Washington, D.C., September 19, 2022, as part of the Biden-Harris administration to spur Made in America Clean Industries, the U.S. General Service Administration, called GSA, issued a request for information, RFP, to learn more about available for domestically manufacturing solar panels. Under there, if you scroll down, it also mentions information around the issue of community solar. This dealt with domestic, we are actually scaling up the issue around community solar is very, very important, and I'm trying to locate that program. Here it is right now with the next link. It was Join the National Community Solar Partnership. Now, this was the link I was looking for, ladies and gentlemen, to give you an idea why this is a big deal. The National Community Solar Partnership, CSP, is a coalition of community solar stakeholders working to expand access to affordable community solar to all Americans and enable communities to realize other benefits, such as increased reliance on workforce development. The NCSP partnerships make commitments to increasing access to community solar within their own organizations. The communities interact with each other on a platform called the Mobilize, Receive Benefits, Access Resources, and Technical Assistance. Who are community solar projects? Partners represent a diverse group of community stakeholders, including community and community-based organizations, solar developers, financial institutions, state, local, tribal, territorial governments, representatives, utilities, and nonprofits. Any individual organization supporting to increase equitable access to community solar that is based in the United States is eligible in joining the partnership. So if you are interested in this area and you have a 501c3 and you're interested in this, you can definitely get in contact to find out more about National Community Solar Partners and their commitments in increasing access. Now it says, why join the National Community Solar Partnership? The National Community Solar Partnership receives access to full benefits to the partnership, including technical assistance, receive tailored support for experts to resolve challenges in implementing community solar in either one-on-one or group settings, networking, meetings connected with other partners working in community solar in the area and across the country. Partners may join and start peer networking groups around specific topics such as financing programs, design, and more. Events and opportunities, resources, a regular updated database of resources on community solar. It's including case studies, toolkits, research, analysis tools, and more. Share expertise, your expertise, and questions about community solar with partners and in networks. Now, this is very key, ladies and gentlemen, because here it is that this structure is already in place. And if you're not a part of this, when the funding comes down the pipeline, this is where the funding goes. Quote, unquote, where is the Green Economic Development Plan for African Americans, and where are the our African American nonprofits around this issue? I know there's some out there. Now, what we're going to look at, we're talking about them scaling this industry up and what they want to do with this industry in terms of mobilizing this industry and the type of funding that's going to be available and what is expected from the development of these partnerships that are coming to fruition. And it talks about how to apply, but they're talking about 5 million subscriptions, ladies and gentlemen, generating over $1 billion in savings by 2025, and you're talking about reaching 5 million people. That's not a short order when you're looking at we're in 2022, we're only 2025, 3 years away, and they haven't stretched the surface with this because the monies, and there's an issue that's looming large over the whole piece, and we're going to get into that. That's why we're going to go right into the article, which was published by a staff person at United Neighbors, which is established a 501c3 nonprofit organization here in Washington, D.C. Now, this comes from their online news blog, Making a Difference in D.C. Solar Rights. What is happening? We are concerned that the monopoly utility Pepco is taking money from low-income D.C. families and solar owners. A new investigation from the D.C. Attorney General found that Pepco overcharged 6,800 low-income families who take part in community solar. Community solar lets people benefit from solar if they are unable to install solar where they live, or you don't have a house or anything that you own to put solar on, and you're living in an apartment. Community solar partnerships can buy or lease a share of a solar array. They can earn a credit on their utility bill based on how much electricity their share generates. Further, the report found Pepco inappropriately installed its own electric meters and community solar sites. This enabled the utilities to pay participants less than they should earn. These actions harm all district residents. They undermine public confidence in community solar. Community solar is a key part of the district's Solar for All program and has a goal of helping 100,000 low-income families save on their energy bills. District solar supporters are calling the D.C. government to act. Now, the Public Service Commission should open a formal proceeding in Pepco's misdeeds. Use a form of this page to contact your council person and the Public Service Commission. If you have personal experience with Pepco undercharging charging, interconnection, delaying bills, solar metering, and other problems, good and bad, with solar in D.C. Please highlight that clearly in your message. Okay? Now, this is Solar United Neighbors' position on rooftop solar leasing and financing. The United Neighbors' mission is to help people go solar, join together, and fight for their rights. We are committed to helping people consider all options when going solar. As a nonprofit education organization, we are installer, technology, and financing neutral. We are installer, technology, and financing neutral. Sun strongly support giving prospective solar users a broad range of competitive offers. They must have transparency and communicate the choices. These should include direct ownership, equitable access to community solar, and third-party financing models such as leasing. This is United Neighbors. This is what they do, ladies and gentlemen. I know the founder, Mrs. Anna Schulman, the lady's principal, and I know they do excellent work. And in February 9th, 2019, yours truly was awarded the Solar Ambassadors Award by United Neighbors because I had supported what they have done in Washington, D.C. over the years, and they were an educational and outreach component for the African-American community, which I went to those information sessions. Now, I am looking at this thing, and what we want to do now is look at what has taken place here in the nation's capital as it relates to the fact that Pepco systematically mishandling solar projects, says D.C. Attorney General. Now, this is the case that has been bought by the U.S. Attorney's Office here in Washington, D.C., and it speaks to Pepco has committed a pattern of systematic violations in the handling of solar projects. But ladies and gentlemen, this did not speak to the individual homeowner who has put solar on the roof of their home, and they're not a part of the Solar for All program, and even those who have had the installs done under the Solar for All program in the district have had their meters deactivated, and the data sharing option has been turned off. This did not just happen with Pepco in Washington, D.C., ladies and gentlemen. Mission Data, the organization that collects data around these issues, had just put out a report letting people know that this has taken place on a national level. We're talking about 14 million individuals who are U.S. citizens and residents who have installed solar on their rooftop, be able to find that. Deactivated. How electric utilities turn off data sharing features on 14 million smart meters. We pay for it through taxes and electric bills. It is our data, and we should have access to it. This is what is going on, ladies and gentlemen, and this requires congressional hearings. And because this has taken place, this information has been provided by Mission Data, which is a nonprofit tech coalition promoting standards-based energy data, profitability, innovation, and software innovation and efficiency. That has collected this data. I don't know any place else you're going to get this kind of information, ladies and gentlemen, other than you can go listen to Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. The National Association of Blacks in Solar, we're going to be looking into this matter as we try to move forward around how do we mobilize a collaboration of interest around these issues to deal with this. And as I indicated, you can go right to our website and you'll see that the complaint has been filed. You will see a blue link that will give you the filing of this. Now, just to give you a little flavor, Petco committed a pattern of systematic violations in handling of solar projects in D.C., potentially overcharging more than 6,000 customers, according to the Office of the D.C. Attorney General and the People's Council. The two officers jointly filed a complaint detailing allegations saying that the power companies' actions are undermining the progress of D.C.'s clean energy and climate goals. I'm not making this up, ladies and gentlemen. It's all here for you to do your own due diligence and your research. So with that being said, we hope that we brought you news that you can definitely use. And remember, that call-in number was 646-668-2948, even though no one called in today. But we want to let people know, we hope that you understand, that we understand, that it don't get no more basic than the gas, water, and electric bills. And if we can bring you news that you can definitely use, that's what we do as we look at this. Issues around the opportunities in the clean, green energy economy, which is changing right as we see the climate change before our eyes. And with that being said, we don't want you to meet us back here next week, ladies and gentlemen. We want you to meet us back here as we conclude another exciting edition of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America.
Life is a song worth singing. Life is a song worth singing. Why don't you sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand. Use it. Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do. Life is a song worth singing.